Including real estate, community, politics in a nonpartisan manner, of course, and any hot topics of the day. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I am here with my executive producer, Jason Versace, of Rising Tide Marketing. We have as our guest tonight Kim Parker. Kim is a resident of Bay Ridge, and she's also a co-op board president, a very fulfilling and responsible job, but sometimes probably a little thankless. But I'll let her tell you about that. Kim, am I right? Is it a responsible job, but sometimes you wonder, why am I doing this all?
Very often I think that. Yes, it's absolutely true. But it can be very rewarding as well.
Kim, before we get to your role, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your real job, and anything else you'd like to tell our audience.
Okay, I was born and raised in Dyker Heights and moved to Bay Ridge 19 years ago, which is, Bob, very close.
Yes.
Went to all, local schools, local college, and I have been an insurance broker for 32 years, and I've been on the board. I moved into the co-op now 19 years ago this month, actually, and I've been on the board in different roles for the past 18 years.
So what made you become involved, first of all, in the board, and why weren't you a couch potato and say, let everybody else take care of this
That
job?
Is not my personality at all. It's I think that's why I had, a certain degree of success in my business life as well. I'm a type A personality, and I felt that since I moved here, this is a big investment for me, and if someone was going to paint the color of my door yellow, I was going to pick the shade.
Right,
I wanted to be involved.
Good, yeah, so you wanted to be in charge of your own destiny and not be following after somebody else's.
I'm not a follower. Yes, exactly right.
No, you didn't impress me as a follower. I also want to tell our listeners, you're involved, before we get back to this co-op topic,
mm-hmm.
You're involved in your parish in a project called Workforce Ministry. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Workforce Ministry is actually a number of individuals who are looking to help or aid or assist anyone who's currently out of work or thinking of changing positions or changing jobs. So what we try to do is to bring, and we hold like two seminars a year, and we bring in, our last one was last month, and it was local entrepreneurs, and the, you know, the audience was able to ask them different questions, you know, growing pains, business plans. The seminar before that was how to improve your resume and how to sharpen your interviewing skills. So it's a whole plethora of different things to aid people in the workforce.
And I heard you got a little TV coverage too on that, right?
We did, actually. It was forgive me, I can't think of the name of the channel right now, but it was wonderful. They sent you know, one of their reporters, and it was on like the following week, and a number of the entrepreneurs were interviewed, and you know, and hopefully we'll get some business from it because it's a win-win for everyone.
Another side of you, you're a doer, not a sitter backer.
Good. I guess.
Tell us a little bit about your building. How many units are there in your building?
It's 42 units. It's actually 14 buildings of like three family houses.
Okay.
So it's not like a one building where there would be, like we don't have a super. We don't have any elevators. We don't have one boiler, you know, like where, like, the big co-ops do in the neighborhood and co-ops in the city. You know,
sure,
they're really like individual homes.
You have slightly different challenges than someone who's, say, in a 100-unit apartment.
Exactly, style. Exactly. Yeah. There's people who we're blessed, I think, in the fact that we are 100% owner-occupied, which is very unique in the fact that people care about really where they live and it's not just an investment property for them. So, you know, a lot of people are willing to maybe work a little harder or take care of the property a little bit more on their own, you know, than
so
a building.
So are there 19 years and 18 years ago you jumped on to becoming involved in the board. So you didn't really waste any time. You unpacked and started volunteering.
Pretty
right
much.
Away. What was your first involvement with the board?
Terror. I just actually went because I went to my first annual shareholders meeting and there was a position available and I raised my hand and whatever it was, I was going to jump right in. So I believe my first one was recording secretary, you know,
okay,
which was a nice way to really get my feet wet.
Now, when you raised your hand, were there 10 other people raising their hand?
No, no, absolutely. So I had no problem getting on the board. At all.
And probably to this date there aren't too many people raising
their hands. There's not at all. And, you know, there's I think in life, in any business environment, you're going to have your chronic complainers who like to complain but then don't want to do anything to solve a problem. You know, so that's, you know, like that's what we, you know, what we have, but no one's willing to put in any time or effort to control something that they consider a problem.
Right, but that's not your personality. Tell us, what are some of the responsibilities of the board? What does a board do?
Well, a board is really like the representatives of a of the business. You know, it's like a board of directors of a company. It's the same thing. It's you have your president and your assistant or your vice president. You have your recording secretary. What they do is they keep an eye on the finances and on the in this business, they take care of the if any work that needs to be done, we'll make sure that we get 3 to 5 bids and we'll do our homework and we have a fiduciary responsibility to make the right decisions on behalf of everyone, all the shareholders.
And how often does the board either meet or is required to meet?
We meet on a monthly basis, and actually the difference from when I started to the way that it functions now is 18 years ago, nobody had home emails at all. It seems now we are in contact with either each other or the property manager, mostly on a daily basis, depending on what's going on. Again, we meet on a monthly basis, and that will be the time that we address any shareholder concerns that may have come in, either on the phone or in writing, to the board, to the property manager. We review finances at that time. We review projects, go over bids, set up interviews for prospective shareholders that may want to come in. Some meetings are very short, and other meetings are very long. But
and
it's always every month.
Every month. And are these meetings open to the shareholders, or they're just among the board members?
They're just among the board members. What happened is a couple of years ago, we used to meet at the property manager's place of business on Shore Road. And it's very difficult to park there, very difficult. So now what we do is we all take turns having them in our homes.
Okay.
Of course, any of these meetings are open to any of the shareholders if they want to do it. If that happens, and it has happened, and they do, and sometimes people want to meet with the board, that will go back to the property manager's office. You know, it's not appropriate, I don't think, to either have interviews or you know, someone who wants to meet with you who's not a board member in our individual homes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You talked about you used the word daily. This sounds like you probably devote a couple hours a day potentially to, or you and all of the other directors and officers probably devote a couple hours a day to, you know, to running this business.
It depends on what's going on. It's not every day. It's we recently refinanced over the summer. We refinanced the mortgage on the property. At that time, it was almost a daily occurrence. But you know, weeks and weeks go by sometimes where we don't even talk to each other, and then we'll just you know, meet again at the end, at the monthly meeting.
Now that's interesting. You mentioned about you know, refinance. Explain to our audience why or what is refinanced in a co-op? Because don't unit owners themselves get their own financing for
Yes.
each unit?
Yes. Each individual shareholder has their own mortgage on their own apartment, if you want to call it an apartment. But there is the property that the co-op is built on. There was a we had an over $2 million mortgage on the underlying property. That we had a 30-year fixed mortgage that was I was involved in actually in 1996 when we redid that one as well. But that was that we were paying almost like a 9% rate, but we couldn't approach anything because we had a huge prepayment penalty if we did anything before August of this year. So we were able to, you know, I did a lot of research. Not many banks were willing to take us on because we're so small. You know, we're 42 families. It's tiny.
Okay.
Even though we are very structurally sound and we are 100% owner-occupied. So I narrowed it down to three, and I actually chose National Co-op Bank, and they were a pleasure to deal with. They exclusively lend and deal with co-ops, which, in my opinion, is to our, you know, benefits us. And I was able to negotiate a great deal because we are 100% owner-occupied, which a co-op exclusive bank would understand that better than another lending institution.
And you mentioned you had a 9% rate there.
We did.
But what are the going rates nowadays?
Well, actually, you know, when you look, if you would watch the news every day, you would see the rates are running at 3% and 4%, but that's a private mortgage that you'd be able to get, you know, on a private home. We were able to achieve, it's tied into the 10-year Treasury.
All right.
And then there's a spread that has to get added on to it. So we were able to get in right around 6%.
That's very good for the type of property that you
want. Yes,
are.
And it results in a huge savings every month.
I'm sure the shareholders were happy that, you know, their maintenance, at least, despite the fact that everything else was going up, their mortgage payments were going down a little.
The mortgage – exactly, yes. Yeah. I mean, we did incur some expenses, of course, to close, you know, but in the long run, we had to do it. I mean, business-wise, we had to do it.
Now, your existing lender, they had no interest in working with you because they knew your building, they knew you were a regular payer, and...
Isn't it amazing? Yep. They were a firm. They were actually a mortgage company that had been taken over 10 or 12 times over the past 10 years. I didn't like that either. You know, you never knew who you were actually going to deal with. The last person who actually held our mortgage It was a company in Washington, D.C. I didn't like, there was absolutely no benefit to us dealing with them. They were not you know, nice to us. They didn't care about our business. So I was happy to leave them. You know, they were not hungry for our business in today's environment. Who's not?
Sure. So heck with them. You can give you a couple $100,000 to anybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was my pleasure to do so, to walk away.
Now, Kim, you, in your role as, so now you've segued, you've become a big shot. You went from recording secretary and worked your way up the ladder. You are now the president. The buck stops on your desk.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to deal with current members as well as maybe incoming members. Tell us some of the common complaints you might or requests you might hear from current owners, problems they want you to bring to your attention or have you help solve them.
Well, again, we're if you would look at the property, it looks like a three-family house. So sometimes there are problems that you have to deal with personalities of people living in a small space. You know, people, noise complaints, you know, who doesn't take turns taking out the garbage because there's, you know, there's one garbage area for each individual building.
Okay.
You know,
so,
who.
So you've delegated, that's a round robin sort of thing where 1 month somebody takes something out? Is that?
Well, you know what, actually the way that we explain it to everyone at the interview when we do meet with them, and then we do send out two, if not three, notices every year, like little newsletters to people. And just tell them it's, you know, whatever works for your particular building. I mean, I'm not going to tell you, which is what I'm quoted at every interview, is I'm not going to tell you whose tuna can wasn't cleaned or who didn't do something properly, because we do get tickets. You know, we get sanitation tickets here. And if one building gets them, they're split in three. And that's all there is. You know, so sometimes it's really more of a personality thing that you have to, that I find myself dealing with. I'm trying to be kind.
Yes, you're holding your tongue, it sounds like.
Yes,
that.
Yeah.
And thinking twice. You talked about noise complaints. I would imagine that's probably one of the higher, you know, type of complaints you get. How do you go about resolving those type of things?
What we always try to have people do is, and again, most of this is laid out at when we first meet with people. It's in our house rules as well as a reminder in the newsletters 2 or 3 times a year. Just be courteous. You know, that's the most important thing of all. We have a 60% carpeting rule that everyone has to have at least 60% of their home carpeted, because, you know, you have to realize that there are people living beneath you, you know, and there's also times when you can have people come to your home and do work and do construction and play music and, you know, but we always stress to people, please try to work it out amongst yourselves, your neighbors, you know, please, don't, you know, we're not police. So please try to work it out yourselves. We've had less than a handful in you know, the 18 years here where we had to actually sit down with both parties. So people work it out.
Yeah, okay. So, but as a board, you also act in a quasi-landlord role, and I guess theoretically you could, maybe for a really offensive tenant or unit owner, or someone who doesn't pay, you might even be required to act in the role as landlord and bring an action against them.
And that's happened as well, yes.
Yes, and that must be a very unpleasant task.
It is. It's awkward, too, because, you know what, these are my neighbors. I live here, too.
Right. So how about new and prospective owners? Tell us a little bit about what the board looks for from them.
Okay. We don't know that someone is actually selling because we don't allow any for sale signs or anything on the property or in windows or anything like that. So the first time that we hear, unless we hear by word of mouth, that a house is sold is once we get notified by the property manager that there's an application package for new people. there's five people on the board, including myself. And what we'll do is it's very extensive. It's an extensive package that we have these people complete. And it's financial. I want to look at, you know, the mortgage that they've taken out. I want to look at the monthly maintenance that we charge, you know, to run the corporation. And how long have they been in their jobs, type of job it is, and can they financially afford to pay their mortgage, pay the maintenance, and, you know, turn a light bulb on.
So it's purely financial, race, color, creed, orientation, looks, attitude.
We don't even meet the people until we make our decision on the package whether or not we're even going to meet them.
Okay. And so what happens then what happens to those people who get through that first filter? You end up at a meeting. What are some of the typical things you might be looking for at that interview?
It's basically we've come up with something we called our checklist. And what we do is we go over the same 15 talking points with every single person, and we have them sign it. I sign it, or whoever does the interview, and we have to have at least three of the five of the board members present at every interview. And we go over the checklist. We go over the house rules. We go over, the garbage. We go over the storage space. We, you know, just all the little particulars that that probably didn't come up from the current owner or from their real estate agent. You know, what it's like to live here, you know, all the time, what current projects are coming on. It's really more of something like an education. We're educating them, because 99.9% of the time they're approved before we even meet them. You know, I can't think of really any, I've never approved somebody on paper and then met them in person and turned them down. Never.
Okay. And how about the people who you do turn down? Are you required to give them a reason?
No. No.
Does that ever get a little sticky?
Yes. Yes. We have had either their attorney or through the real estate process coming back and just, requesting it. And what if, you know, it's financial, which is why they can't do it. And what happens if they get, you know, another $20,000 from their mother? You know what I mean? Like, that's how it gets down to at the end. And in the long run, I can't let any emotions come into this. This is strictly a dollar and cents. It's a business. We're running a business.
Okay. So talking about business, you represent this business. And give our audience some idea of things that would make your business attractive for me, because now I want to buy into one of your units. What do you think makes your business attractive to me to want to buy one of your units for $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000?
Okay. Well, if you're coming in today, our financials are phenomenal, which is like you go into any business. Of course, before we refinanced, it was rough. It was getting a little rough. And the last thing you want to do is to constantly increase people's maintenance. You know, you don't want to do that. And again, I live here too. So you know what? I want to do what's good for everybody as well as myself. So financially, we're very, very stable. The fact that we're 100% owner-occupied should go a long way, because people care a little bit more about what their property looks like and how they take care of it if they live there, as opposed to just an investment. You know, it's a great area. We have some people coming into the area that are not familiar with Bay Ridge. So, you know, when they see how close it is to the city, the great bars, restaurants, and shops, there's not really too many reasons not to buy.
Kim, my producer Jason has a comment or two to ask you.
Sure.
Hi, Kim.
Hi.
I feel a little simpatico with you, because I was vice president on my building's board, and hearing you talk about 100% owner occupied, I'm a little envious. We were about 60% in my building.
Makes a big difference.
And just hearing you talk about the financials and managing it like it's your business, mm-hmm. One of the things that we ran into was always trying to offset some of our building's expenses by bringing in some revenue, like we would install storage units. So they were talking about putting a cell tower on the building. Have you ever encountered anything like that to help your building?
Yes, actually, at the same time that I was on the refinancing committee, one of my other board members was looking into solar panels. And so you don't actually derive or see any money from installing solar panels and for a long time. So it's not something that we did do, but it was something that we looked into. Mm-hmm. The way that our property is, there's no it's not like we can invent any additional real estate for anybody. You know, it's just it is what it is. There is storage for everybody. We do have 14 garages and 42 units. So the day that you close, your name goes on the bottom of the list. As garages go, come up available, you know, whoever's available, and we do charge for those, you know, monthly, the garages. Other than that, I can't think of any ways to make money. Can you tell me? I can't think.
Well, I'm not on the board anymore, so that should tell you. But we did look into the solar panel thing, too.
You did, right? It's so interesting, but the upfront cost is really a lot.
Yeah, it's prohibitive.
It is.
Now, Kim, how similar to this topic, what happens if the board decides to do something slightly innovative? Do you ever get any negative feedback from the shareholders? You shouldn't have done this. We don't like it.
Yes. Here's an example. We have the people on the first floor have a pretty nice size yard in the back. It's very deceiving from the front, but there's a nice size backyard, as I said. There's a huge retaining wall on the back, and what we do is we pay our landscaper to come twice a year and remove growth from the top of the wall. There's people who don't like that. You know, there's people who, oh, it looks nice. But you know what? We've had engineers come in and look at it, and if they don't take care of the growth or whatever, it's going to eventually affect the, you know, the stability of the wall.
Right.
Something as stupid as removing weeds, you have some people saying, no, I like the way it looks. You know, it's 42 different personalities living here.
42, sometimes I find in a volunteer job, you take your members and double them, and that's how many.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it's 42 families, I should say, and there's, you know, sometimes you have a lot of people in a family, and
yeah.
Everyone has a different opinion.
Well, Kim, we only have a minute left. We want to thank you. I have a whole slew of questions left for you, but maybe we'll hold that for another occasion. We'll have you back. We loved having you on.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
We, you know, it sounds like your co-op is, whether or not they know it, is very lucky to.
Oh, thank you.
to have you, and we look forward to having you back and in the future and expanding on some of these topics.
Oh,
thank you.
Well, thank you so very much, and have wonderful holidays.
Very good. You also, Kim. Thanks.
Okay. Bye bye now.
Bye now. So this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show. And thanks to our guest, Kim Parker, for sharing her insights with us. This is How's New York. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am Robert Howe.
Just try to keep the appearances.